Brother Stephen's going to talk to us at this time on brotherly love that Brother Paul mentioned. Brotherly love. Brother Steve.
Thank you, Brother Byron, and thank you, Brother David, for your prayer, and thank you, Brother Paul, for your welcome to us this morning. And, you know, when Brother Paul said it was going to be the warmest day in Boise this year and reach 80 degrees, that was music to my ears. And because my blood is thin, being from Florida. And we've had a little bit of cold weather the last couple of weeks, traveling through the northern part of the country. And so we're glad that it's going to be so warm today. But, you know, the real warmth is amongst one another here with you brethren. And that's really the warmth that we have come here for and have appreciated so much in the past as we have had the opportunity to come to Boise. And so we're very happy to be here and enjoying not just your weather, but especially your fellowship and your warmth of love that you have shown to us. We're very happy to bring with us the love of your brethren in Orlando. They do love you very much. Most all of the brethren there have a special place in their hearts for the brethren here in Boise and out in the northwest part of the country. And even though the miles may separate us physically, yet the love that we're going to talk about this morning does bind us together in that one hope. And so they wanted us to bring their love to you, and so we're glad to do that. And special love from our family, of course, our children and our my mother and my sister and brother-in-law and all the family members. We also, Brother Bob brought this last night, but in case any of you weren't here, two Sundays ago we were in New York at a one-day convention, and the brethren there voted to send their love to anywhere that we might go. So we're very happy to bring that love along with us to you. And also, Brother Bob mentioned last night that we'll just mention it briefly again. We had planned to make a stop in Canada to visit Brother Sid and Sister Joan Jones, and also in Moorhead, Minnesota, to visit Brother and Sister Berdahl. But due to these late winter storms that came across the country, I think three of them right in a row, last week, we decided it would not be best to try and do that. So, and Brother Sid also recommended that we not attempt it. They still had 3 feet of snow on the ground. So, but anyway, we did talk to them by phone, and they also wanted their special love conveyed to the convention here in Boise. And they also remember many, many times that they were able to be here with you. We've greatly enjoyed traveling together with Brother Bob and Sister Deanna these past couple of weeks, and looking forward to further fellowship with them in coming days. Yes, Brother Paul mentioned our subject this morning, brotherly love, and how true it is that that love is what binds us together and encourages us in the narrow way. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, the Apostle Peter talks in 2 Peter, the first chapter. We're just going to paraphrase a little bit of what he says. He talks about various elements of the Christian character. And brotherly love is one of those elements that he says needs to be added to our faith. And he mentions, you know, virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness. And then he mentions brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And then summing it up, he mentions love itself as the crowning attribute of the Christian character. But concerning these characteristics, and specifically the one that we're going to talk about, brotherly love, Peter says in this context of 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 7 through 11, he says that it must be in us and it must abound. He says if it is not in us, we are blind, we can't see afar off. In other words, we become kind of nearsighted or self-sighted. And he says that if we don't have this brotherly love, we've, in a sense, we've forgotten that we had been purged or released from our former condition in Adam. He says rather that we should give diligence in developing brotherly love, because doing so will help us to make our calling and election sure and to receive an abundant entrance into the kingdom. Now, as we said, love, which we usually define by the Greek word agape, is the overall guiding principle of God's character and that of his Son. And it is also to be the basis of the character of the church. This love, defined by the Greek word agape, is considered, we believe, to be the sum total of all of the fruits and graces of the Spirit. But our subject this morning is not going to be that particular feature of love, although we will see that it's sort of tied together to brotherly love. We're going to talk about what sometimes we might think of as the less important stepsister to agape love, and that's filial love. But I think we'll see that it's not really less important. It is very, very important in the development of the fruits and graces of the Spirit. And it's not just a means to an end. Filial love is not just the means to get to agape love. It is a kind of love that in its own right, in its own place in our lives, is very important and is never to be dispensed with or just put to the side. Brotherly love is defined by two very familiar Greek words. In fact, it's two forms of the same word. The noun form is Philadelphia, and the verb form is filio. And, you know, we'll just kind of give you some of the definitions and synonyms of these words. Fraternal affection, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, love of the brethren, love of brothers, sisters. And here's one that I really like. The love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. To be a friend to be fond of, to have affection for, to approve of, to like, to treat affectionately or kindly, to welcome, to show signs of love, to be fond of doing for others. You know, so that probably gives you a little taste of what is meant by these two words, Philadelphia and filio, as they represent this thought of brotherly love. Now, as with many biblical words and Greek words, there are ways that we could misapply these words. For instance, our Lord said that the Pharisees loved, and it's the same word, filio, they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. They loved to be noticed by others. And he also said that they loved, using again this Greek word filio, they loved the uppermost rooms at the feasts. Now, this would be an improper application of these words. And there are other scriptures in which phrases that come from this root filio or Philadelphia, we would want to avoid these types of love. For instance, loving this life, the love of money, is also a scriptural term that is taken from this word filio. Loving self, coveting also has the same thought. Friendship of the world, being a lover of pleasure. These are all words and phrases that have their origin in this Greek word filio, but yet they are incorrect applications of it. And so, you know, these are things that we would want to avoid as far as this matter of filial love is concerned. But, you know, our purpose is to not focus on the negative. We want to focus on the positive. And so that's the way we're going to approach this subject this morning. We'd like to identify in our consideration this morning 8 scriptural principles and requirements with regard to brotherly love. And by these, we hope to maybe kind of round out our understanding of just what brotherly love is and how it should be applied in our life. The first principle we want to look at is the statement and the understanding that brotherly love, filio, Philadelphia, has its origin in God. You know, we may have thought that somehow brotherly love or filial love, because it's more of an affection or a fondness, that maybe was of human origin or earthly origin, but it's not. It's from God. He has fondness, he has affection, he has tenderness, Philadelphia love for others. We know this because the scriptures use these Greek words with reference to God. For instance, John, the 5th chapter, verse 20, our Lord said, "For the Father loveth, filio, the Son." God had this affection for his only begotten Son. And Jesus also said in John 16:27 that the Father himself loveth you, or loveth us, the disciples of our Lord. And that's also the same word, filio. In Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 4, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's love, speaks of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. He's talking about man's fallen condition that he is in right now, and the fact that condition that man is in at the present time is not to be a permanent condition, but that the love of God, filial love of God, has appeared toward man in that he gave his only begotten Son. And so in these three scriptures alone, we see that God has filial love toward his Son, toward the church, and even toward mankind in general. And, you know, isn't this what we would expect from our Heavenly Father? You know, he is the author and the ultimate giver of this brotherly, affectionate, tender love for his creation. So that's our first principle. Our second principle is that brotherly love, by its definition, and we've given you some of those definitions and synonyms and phrasing that sort of describes it. Brotherly love, by its definition, describes not just a one-way relationship, but one that is two-way. And even beyond that, it describes a relationship that is mutually experienced among many individuals, when it is being properly understood and applied. And this principle, I think, identifies perhaps a subtle distinction between brotherly love, as expressed through filio in Philadelphia, and agape love. You know, agape love certainly can be manifest in a two-way or mutual relationship, and ideally, as I think we'll hopefully point out later, that is the goal, that agape love also describes a two-way relationship. But agape love, by its definition, is a love that does not require, does not really emphasize that two-way thought. For example, love of our enemies. You know, that the scriptures describe that as being an example of agape love. Why? Because we don't necessarily expect our enemies to love us in return. In fact, they may persecute us in return if we love them. But yet, we love our enemies with a sympathetic love because we know that God loves all of mankind, and gave his only begotten Son for them. God's love for fallen man is an example of agape love, where, you know, he has not received, at least yet, in return, that love from mankind. But yet he has loved them with agape love. Brotherly love, however, has to do with mutual relationships between people, between individuals, between groups, and hence emphasizes the sort of the two-way operation in its fulfillment and in its application. And so in that way, it's not in any sense inferior to agape love. It's just a different aspect of how we should love one another. We note again or repeat one of the definitions that we read earlier, that filio is love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. Now we read part of John 16:27, where it says, "For the Father himself loveth you, filio." But the rest of that verse reads, "Because ye have loved me," and that's again the word filio, "and have believed that I came out from God." Notice the sort of the three-way connection there concerning filio love, that between our Heavenly Father, His Son, and ourselves. And so we see in this second principle that brotherly love is a mutual condition between individuals and between groups. Principle number three. Brotherly love describes the desired natural family arrangement. And so we're going to deviate just for a moment to sort of the natural family arrangement as opposed to the spiritual family. And we realize that the natural family arrangement was authorized by God from the very beginning. Marriage and the family unit. This is related and part and parcel to filial love. There's a couple of other Greek words, and we're not going to pronounce them or try to pronounce them, that also have their root in filio. And they're translated in the one case being a lover of one's children, or a lover of men, or in the sense of loving your spouse. We have an example of this in Titus, the second chapter in verse 4, where the Apostle Paul says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and that's from the root of filio, and to love their children, the same root word. You know, and even though Paul is addressing young women, you know, the thought of the text obviously equally applies to men. To love your wives, love your children, that's a filio affection, a tenderness, a mutual love for your family. Now, since God is the source of brotherly love, it again should not be surprising that he would instill this same characteristic in his human creation, who were created in his image. And so we see that since the Garden of Eden, mankind has, in many cases, and hopefully in most cases, cherished the family arrangement as one of mutual love and affection and fondness, one member for the other. Now we know, though, in fallen man, this mutual love is not always continued. Things come into the lives of families that perhaps cause this love to be diminished. Sometimes separations occur, and we know that in these situations, the natural family unit suffers as a result, whether it be wife, husband, children. But yet in the ideal arrangement that God designed in his human creation, and where we see the mutual love and affection for family, we rejoice. And not just even among ourselves, but even in the world where we see the family arrangement in force and a guiding principle in their lives, we rejoice when we see that. And so the family arrangement is perhaps the most basic human example of brotherly love in its God-given form to his human creation. Now, our remaining principles that we're going to talk about, the last five, are really going to focus primarily on the spiritual application of brotherly love in our Christian walk. The fourth principle is similar to the one that we just talked about, but it takes to the spiritual, to the side of our life. And that is that brotherly love describes not just the natural, but describes the spiritual family relationship and fellowship which exists among brethren with one another, with God, and with his Son. And you know, this brotherly love that we share as a spiritual family begins with our relationship to God and with his Son. When we come into covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father through consecration and through acceptance of the merit of our Lord's sacrifice, we become part of a family unit. We are able to address God as our Father. And we are able to join in calling our Lord our elder brother. And yet that brotherly love goes beyond just our Lord and our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus had a number of experiences that really pointed out the tender love that he had for his brethren and for those that he felt especially close to. You remember the experience of the death of Lazarus. And we're not going to take the time to read that. You're all familiar with it. But, you know, when Jesus arrived on the scene and he saw Mary weeping and he saw the great love that they had as a family, Mary and Martha, for their brother Lazarus. It had a deep impact upon him, so much so that he wept. And even the Jews that were there observing, they remarked, this is in John 11:36, says, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." It's the Greek word phileo again. And this brotherly love that Jesus had was not just for Lazarus himself, but was for his entire family and those who were there and in such sadness because of what had happened. And I think what makes it so awe-inspiring to see this love that Jesus had was that he knew God's plan. He knew of the future resurrection of Lazarus and all of mankind, and yet he wept at this experience and at seeing the mental suffering and anguish of his fellow creation. You know, another part of this principle concerning our spiritual family is that we have the privilege not only of having this relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord, but, as we said, with one another. And we pose the question, well, what is it that makes us a spiritual family? You know, according to the flesh, we really don't have a lot in common. We come from different backgrounds, different temperaments, different talents, different geographic and ethnic origins, perhaps. We have different likes and dislikes, different jobs. So, you know, there's not a lot on the surface that would seem to pull us together as a family. But yet, spiritually, we understand that we are part of the same family. We are all striving to be sons of God. We are striving to be part of the bride of Christ, to be new creatures in Christ. And in that, we have a relationship with one another because we're striving for the same goal, You know, we've all been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. We all have the same standing through justification by faith. We're all begotten with the same Holy Spirit. We are all running in the same narrow way, all called in the one hope of our calling, and all striving for the same goal of glory, honor, and immortality. The Apostle John says very simply in 1 John 1:7, he says, "We have fellowship one with another." The Apostle Paul in Titus, the third chapter in verse 15, identifies another important principle that is part of what unifies us as a spiritual family. He says, Titus 3:15, he says, greet them that love us in the faith. This is a key point, isn't it? It is our mutual faith. Faith in God, faith in our Lord, and also the faith once delivered unto the saints. The truth, which binds us together in brotherly love. And so the fact that we have different backgrounds, different abilities, different temperaments, jobs, geographic origins, or whatever, likes and dislikes, that doesn't matter anymore. Because now we have a mutual faith, a mutual understanding of God's plans and purposes. And that brings us together as a family. The Apostle Paul gives us a warning concerning filial love. 1 Corinthians 16:22. He says, "If any man love not," and this is, we're talking about filial. Just almost all of our references to love in Scripture this morning are this filial or Philadelphia love. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." And I think the point that I've tried to appreciate from this is the fact that if one is to be accursed for not having brotherly love toward Jesus, then most certainly he would be accursed for not having that same love toward his fellow brethren. So it's a very sobering thought, isn't it, when we think about brotherly love, that, you know, this is not just something toward God and toward our Lord. This is something that is required amongst our fellowship one with another. And so, you know, summarizing this point, we see that brotherly love is not based on earthly relationships, but on spiritual relationships. It's based on the truth that binds us together in these bonds of love and is critically important to the making of our calling and election sure. Principle number 5, and this one I thought was rather interesting as we sort of looked more deeply into the origins of this word filio, and that is that at the core of brotherly love is the quality of friendship. And that's because the root for filio is the Greek word philos, which means friendship. And our Lord speaks of friendship in his ministry. John the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 13. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." You know, Jesus is saying that he has laid down his life for his friends, those that he loves affectionately, tenderly, and deeply. He has done that for us. And he says that we are his friends if we follow his commandments and his example. He says we're not servants, but friends. And the reason that we are his friends, his close associates, is that he says a servant is not privy to know what his Lord does, but a friend is. A friend is given an understanding of his plans and purposes. He says, all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made them known to you. That's what a friend does. That's what one does who truly loves his fellow brethren. And so, brotherly love as well as friendship are exemplified in our Lord. And, you know, we use the term friends. We talk amongst each other and we say, you know, we're going to meet with the friends. And that's proper. It's even scriptural. In 3 John, verse 14, the Apostle John says to those that he wrote this letter, he says, greet the friends by name. And we do that. You know, the friends send their love. That's what we're talking about. This really core principle underlying brotherly love. And, you know, true friendship is not necessarily easy to have. The Proverbs say in chapter 17, verse 17, that a friend loveth at all times. And in Proverbs 18:24, the statement is made that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, how can friendship even imply something even closer than a relationship of a brother? We know when we first meet a brother or sister in Christ, we almost immediately have that kindred spirit of love for them. But yet it is getting to know them more deeply and over a period of time that takes it to the level, I think, of true deep friendship, because we have to get to know each other, to know about their experiences and their blessings and how the Lord is working in our mutual lives together. That's how we become friends. As the hymn says, make friends of God's children. And so, brotherly love, which reaches the point of true and abiding friendship, will mean that love is virtually impenetrable by any destructive influence or force. That's the goal. Point number 6, brotherly love must include actions and interaction which exemplify and demonstrate that love. And this is critical. Brotherly love is all about actions. It's about doing things. It's about communication. It's about contact. It's about meeting together in meetings or in conventions or in private fellowship. It's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How can we have a mutual love and affection for each other if we don't communicate with each other? And so we take advantage, and we want to take advantage of the many opportunities that we have to be together with our brethren, and to play a role in that. You know, we don't want to just come into the meeting and sit down and never talk to anybody. We want to fellowship. We want to interact with our brethren, those that we love. That's really putting into practice this brotherly love by interacting with each other. You know, the testimony meetings are a wonderful way to do this, because that's where we understand so many of the things that our brethren are going through. The scriptures speak of many actions, and we're not going to take the time to read them, but we'll just identify some of the actions that the scriptures speak of that are all related to filial love. Actions of kindness, actions of affection, actions of in honor preferring one another, actions of giving to the necessity or the needs of the saints, actions of hospitality, actions of goodness, actions of compassion and pity. These are all scripturally authorized actions that have their basis in filial love. Principle number 7. When properly developed, brotherly love engenders and promotes agape love. You know, when we were children, at Christmas time or perhaps other times, we looked forward to helping our mother wrap presents for others in the family. But the reason we loved it so much was because we knew maybe we would get some presents. So that's kind of a little bit like filial love. You know, it's kind of give and take. We like to give things to others, but we really looked forward to receiving things. Well, as we grew older and became parents and maybe even grandparents, it didn't matter so much if we got anything for Christmas or for our birthday. We really enjoyed more just giving things to others of our family. And I think in a sense that shows how brotherly love or filial love matures into really a full-fledged agape love that, you know, if something comes back in return to us, that's wonderful. We love it and we cherish it, but it doesn't have to be that way. We're happy giving to others. And I think that's true in our fellowship and our brotherly love. Yes, we love getting this brotherly love given to us, but that's not a requirement for us to give it in return. We want to give that love to one another regardless. And you know, if we're all doing that, then we will get it in return because our brethren are thinking the same thing. They're wanting to show love and to give love for one another. And so we do get it in return, even if that's not the motivation for our giving love. The last point is that fully developed brotherly love is eternal. If we develop it properly, it will lead to a fellowship, an affection, a tenderness, which will abide with us forever, not just in this life, but eternally beyond the veil. In the verses we paraphrased earlier from 2 Peter, the first chapter, you know, after enumerating all of these graces of the Spirit, including brotherly love, Peter says that if we do these things, we will never fall. For so an entrance, and this phrase, so an entrance, means in this way or in this manner. In other words, by fully developing this characteristic as well as the others that Peter mentions, in this way, we will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. And so, dear friends, let us strive to develop more fully, if possible, this characteristic of brotherly love, that it might interact within us and in our relationship to God and His Son and one another and to our natural families as well. It is a God-given principle. It is from Him. Let us not, let's not give it a second seat, so to speak, in our lives, but rather promote it in our fellowship, in all of our relationships that we have with our fellow man, and especially with our brethren. May we be faithful in doing so by the grace of our Heavenly Father.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Stephen, for those thoughts on brotherly love.